The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Christopher Brandlin, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you doing today?
Fairly well. I need to get a little more sleep with all the traveling, a little jet lag, but I'm pumped, I'm motivated, so let's go.
Great. Yeah, thanks for being here. So I don't know if you recall this or not, but we actually briefly met at the Healing Humanity event in Austin, Texas.
That's where it was. I was going to say, your face looks very familiar. I was like, yeah, but, you know, that's a lot closer. And yeah, if you can make it to Fort Worth, you can watch a nice little show in September. So we'll see you again.
Yeah, that sounds great. So let's kind of jump right into this. I know you kind of have like the tagline or like the nickname, the carnivore lawyer. So maybe you could kind of just give us a little bit of a snapshot of your background, both personally and professionally. Like, what kind of led you to carnivore? Sure. How did that happen?
I've done this a few times, so I've gotten better at it, so I'll try to make it straight and direct. So anyways, before I became an attorney, I was in the health and fitness industry. So, you know, I was a former wrestler during high school, a very competitive wrestler. And then when I got into college, you know, I became a fitness trainer. But even though I was a fitness trainer, I was also a fraternity president. So that comes with a lot of downfalls is, you know, alcohol and partying, but I still stayed in shape. And then when the market crashed in 2007, I just decided to go to law school just to prove my father wrong because he's an attorney. So when I got into law school, I actually took it to a new level on getting back in shape. I actually went like completely straight edge. I wasn't even drinking, no smoking weed. And I was always like a power lifter. Like, I'm only 5'9". That's where they call me like the Joe Pesci attorney, right? So I actually, I was a power lifter, like 190, 195 pounds. I wanted to trim down as lean as possible because one of my friends recommended to go into all-natural bodybuilding. And so she referred me to an all-natural bodybuilding coach and a dietitian who put me on a ketogenic diet. And, he's actually very fond of the carnivore diet. His name is Chuck Rudolph. He's a research and development kind of a coordinator for a lot of supplement companies. But he really loves keto. He's like, you know, carnivore is the best for keto because it's the ultimate elimination diet. So I did keto cycling, and I actually trimmed down to like 3% body fat to get into like peak competition mode during law school. So I didn't have like any social or dating life. I just competed. And I did very well towards the end of law school, and I was Mr. Los Angeles Natural 2010. Then I had to get ready for the bar exam, and I passed the bar exam like 6 months later in like 2011. And I was practicing law, and I was still trying to stay in shape, and I try to just be like the weekend warrior, you know, like do like some sprint triathlons on the weekends and rock climbing. And then 2016 is when I actually got started getting sick, and I made the hugest mistake by going to conventional doctors. And before this, I never used to go to the doctors. I had to go to the doctors for broken bones and injuries and like stitches because I did a lot of stupid stunts during college. And I just did a lot of risky stunts which provoked a lot of injuries. So I never went to go to the doctor because I wasn't feeling well. So I was a little embarrassed. I'm not feeling well. I really got to go to the doctors. Anyways, he said, like, this is where I started developing some sensitivities to a lot of food, you know, the typical bacterial overgrowth in your stomach, you weren't digesting. So I went to a GI doctor, and he put me on, like, a load of pharmaceuticals, mainly just laxatives, antibiotics, and corticosteroids. And it was rotating. And instead of becoming a routine patient, I became a routine customer. It was just new pharmaceuticals, like, every couple of weeks. Routine, and it wasn't getting better. In fact, it got much worse. It started with pain, discomfort. It started with gut discomfort, and then it turned into gut pain and inflammation. So after putting on these pharmaceuticals for about a year, because I think it was like 2016, early 2016, where I started having these problems, in 2017, it got so bad where a piece of my intestine got so inflamed that they referred me to a colorectal surgeon, and I was like, you know, this got worse over the last year, but, you know, I was going to the doctor religiously, and I thought I was going to get better, but I got a lot worse. He's like, well, I got a piece of your intestine that's very inflamed, your sigmoid colon. I recommend just doing a removal of just that 6 inches, you're going to feel a lot better. You know, I think this is going to be your main culprit. Once we remove this, it'll be done laparoscopically, minimally invasive surgery. And when you're so gullible and you're desperate, you know, I want to get my life back. I want to get back my dating life because I was just kind of like went off society when I was sick. I agreed to it, and it got even worse because the morning of the surgery, I actually, when they do the surgery, it's usually first thing in the morning, I woke up prematurely while they're sewing in my intestines. And it was very painful, as you can imagine. A big hospital in California, and I actually screamed at the top of my lungs, or they had to put me a bunch of Tramadol and morphine to put me back to sleep. Just drugged me up for a couple days. I wasn't able to move much, and I just, you know, even though it was, you know, laparoscopic, they had one main incision 2 inches below my belly button, and then they released me without me even moving my bowels. I was like, you guys are going to release me. I want to make sure this thing's working, right? Like, oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Just, you know, we'll do a follow-up in a couple of weeks just to see how things are going. And then it just – I was just in tremendous pain, discomfort, and it was hard to go to the bathroom. And then I remember a couple of weeks later, the main incision area started getting swollen to, like, the size of a grapefruit. And when I spoke with the physician's assistant, she's like, oh, that's just a hematoma. Just don't worry about it. It happens, actually. It'll go back down. You're worrying too much. So I was like, all right, fine. I just went back home, and about, you know, a couple of days later, it like tripled in size to the size of a grapefruit. Took some photos, sent to the surgeon, and they said, all right, got to go to the ER immediately. We got to recut you open. And they said it was going to be mainly superficial, but I felt the entire thing. It was very deep infection, and I was awake the entire time, no anesthesia. So that's why I kind of tell everybody, getting your gut cut open can give you a good amount of pain tolerance afterwards, because that's pretty painful. They think they did some lidocaine injections, and instead of sewing it back up, they said, hey, change the gauze a couple times a day. You know, we don't want to sew it back up because that's going to be a breeding ground for infection. You rather than, you know, just sewing it up, we're just going to change the gauze 3 times a day, you know, religiously, like morning, midday, evening. And I was doing that religiously, trying not to get infected, but it was still so painful, and I wasn't able to eat much. And, you know, regardless of what I did, I was in so much pain. And then a couple of weeks later, it got infected again, and they had to recut it open again. So you can see how I have a bad experience with conventional doctors. And then I just try to manage it, and like the infection was staying nominal. And then towards the end of the year, you know, he was starting to recognize, he's like, you know, you're still having complications. I think we got to remove all your intestines. And I was like, you know, this is the conventional medicine nowadays, right? You know, they're always happy to cut because they can get paid big bucks for the insurance companies. And I decided to, I was like, you know, that's where I just realized I can't trust conventional doctors. And I told him I was much worse. I regret the surgery. I regret all the, you know, pharmaceuticals that they wrecked my gut. So I actually decided to do a 10-day water fast towards the end of 2017. And, you know, I've done fast before. I'm pretty sure you've done it before. I've always done like a couple, like 1 or 2 day fast, small fast. I even did it like a, like these fasting clinics for a couple days, and they're run by vegans. So that kind of just tells you it's the worst thing possible because they refeed you on fiber or just incinerates your, you know, sandpaper to your intestines, I like to call it. So this time I was like looking into the GAPS diet, you know, gut and psychology syndrome by Dr. Campbell McBride. You know, focusing on bone broth, like the meat is kind of the healing element. I was like, you know, I'm not going to do bone broth. Let me just do one thing. Let me just eat just meat right after my fast, like a slow roasted steak. And actually, right when I ate it, you know, that was, I felt so much better, like no pain or anything. I was like, all right, I'm on to something. So then I was like, you know what? Let me just start doing an elimination diet. Let's see what kind of reacts. And this is going into 2018. And I was figuring out that every time I ate different types of meat, like chicken or steak or even pork or fish, like, I wasn't having any problems. It was just when I was adding the plants. And I was like, all right, you know, I think I've come down that I may be able to just eat meat for the rest of my life. And I spoke with some of my friends in the fitness industry because those are my true close friends. I don't like most attorneys. I think I made that a very public comment on for a lot of reasons. Last one's the trust for many reasons. So anyways, some of my friends are like, you know what? There's like this all meat based diet that people are following, and you know, all they eat is meat. I think it's called like the carnivore diet. Maybe you should look into it. Maybe that's what you got to do for the rest of your life. Cause I wanted to like make sure that I never had to go through a surgery. I wanted to keep the rest of my intestines, right? So I ended up looking into it, and then I found Michaela Peterson, like mid-2018. That's when – this is before she got started getting really popular, because she started just doing some random, like, YouTubes and, you know, just starting off. Like, you know, I put all these autoimmune conditions. I did a phone call with her, and she actually – I before this, I didn't even know what tallow was, beef tallow. I was using, like, olive oil and, like, you know, avocado oil and different oils for cooking. And when I realized that I couldn't even do those, and I couldn't even do coconut oil caused a problem. She's like, yeah, you're going to have to find beef tallow. You can find it at some Whole Foods stores. And I started doing beef tallow, and then it was actually very soothing. I was like, look, I'm onto something. Okay, this is good. So I started getting more into it. Even though I was still practicing law, I was so intrigued with, like, you know, how I can reverse my health without seeing any doctors. Then I did a Skype with Dr. Baker, like, September 2018. He gave me some kind of, like, you know, protocols on, you know, introducing meats, whether I want, you know, organs are not completely necessary, but if you want to try it out. And then I told Dr. Baker, I was like, you know, I heard there's this paleo medicina clinic out, like, in Budapest, Hungary, that they, like, you know, treat patients with an all meat based diet for like 1 or 2 weeks, and you just stay with the clinic and they kind of supervise you. I just want to get away because I've been working. I was like, I want to take some time off of work. Let me just fly across. So that's where I did it Thanksgiving Day 2018, met with Dr. Sophia Clemens. She's still my friend to this date. And I like the fact that, you know, she told me no supplements, you know, nothing. I don't want even like multivitamins or anything, you know, fish oil, you know, because I was still taking like some natural prokinetics occasionally, like ginger, you know, just to get most, because I never wanted to take a pharmaceutical guy. She's like, no. No supplements, no herbs. And I asked her, what about motility? What if I get blocked? She's like, you're gonna be eating plenty of animal fat. You're not going to have a problem with motility. And she was completely right, because they do an 80% fat diet. You know, the paleo ketogenic, you know, keto is 70%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paleo ketogenic, the PKD diet, as they phrased it, is 80% fat. And so I stayed with them. I felt so much better. And when I got back to the United States, I kind of just wanted to promote the meat-based diet. So going into 2018-19, I remember I was already kind of a dietetic technician, so I got all these credentials after I passed the bar. I've been going to school ever since I passed the bar. I remember I was trying to get my master's in dietetics, and I told them to flip the food pyramid upside down in my interview, because I had like the best resume, like an attorney license in, you know, two different states, and I'm also a real estate broker and a dietetic technician. And they're like, yeah, you have a good background, but what do you want to do as far as, like, you know, why are you going to master's in dietetics? I'm like, well, I think people are getting sicker and fatter ever since the low-fat craze since the early 80s. I think we need to flip the food pyramid upside down. We need to have some voices at higher levels, and I wanted to make that movement. And they said, no, you're not a good suit. So I decided to go other routes. And then what motivated me to get my PhD and then run for Congress was in the vaccine mandates and the lockdowns 2020, 2021. Obviously, I have a huge bias against pharmaceuticals based on my own personal history, but a lot of other friends too, when I found out that they went through similar issues, just wrecked from pharmaceuticals. And I was like, you know, if you don't even need pharmaceuticals if you eat right in a specific diet, a proper human diet like Dr. Barry kind of like advocates – and it kind of really pissed me off when they were trying to force a lot of my friends who were government employees and hospital workers. Because a lot of my friends from the fitness industry, they went to either government work or they went into healthcare, you know, hospital workers. And they were forced to get vaccinated to keep their jobs. And it really ticked me off. So I decided that I'm going to get my PhD in public policy and public health. I'm going to run for Congress. And I decided this in 2021. Going into 2022, I started my PhD program. I'm right at the finish line of my PhD. I'm in my dissertation phase for my last oral defense. Hopefully become Dr. Brandlin in 2 weeks. I'm trying to get that, you know, finalized. I mentioned this to Dr. Shafee because I started working with him for the last couple of years. And we had a podcast before I made my announcement, and then after I made my announcement that I was going to run for Congress. And he's been supporting me and promoting me. So January on Fox News, I made the announcement I'm going to run for the House of Representatives. I'm a dual resident in California and Nevada, but primarily over in Nevada now. So I made the announcement that I'm going to be running for the House of Representatives because I want to prove the national health, probably more than even RFK is doing right now. So that's my mission.
Wow. Well, you know, a rolling rock gathers no moss. It seems like you're a busy guy. And Okay, so you basically kind of inadvertently stumbled upon carnivore kind of anecdotally. You started changing the way you're eating, and then you're like, wow, well, I actually feel better when I eat this way. So you basically accidentally kind of stumbled upon carnivore. It wasn't like I heard Dr. Baker on Joe Rogan or something like that.
No, this is actually, I followed up with Dr. Baker where I was getting more into it. I think the first person I even heard of was Michaela Peterson. I think it was like mid-2018, and that's where I got her. She had like a separate website at the time. I mean, she's updated her website so many different times. But I remember she had like a sign-up link, and then she personally called me from her cell phone for like a 30-minute chat. And I think it was just right in the middle of 2018. And then – but what also just was just elimination diet. And when I looked into the gut psychology syndrome diet, the GAPS diet, which I kind of like – it is a good healing diet because – I don't think everybody has to completely go carnivore, but I think at minimum you have to remove a lot of inflammatory foods. I wasn't eating that unhealthy because I was when I was bodybuilding, it was kind of like fish, chicken, or steak, and a little bit of vegetables, and you would cycle on sweet potatoes every 3 to 4 days. Okay, but now when you're so inflamed, what I've kind of come to realize is that you can't get away with the plant foods. You have to eat what our ancestors have been eating for 2.5 million years to survive. And you have to eat to survive, to thrive.
That's why I like your story, because it's a lot like mine. I mean, our family was very health conscious. You know, we ate whole foods and all these different things. And what we didn't try to grow or raise, we bought from the health food store, right? And the healthy packaging and all that stuff. And what we're seeing more and more is we're seeing health-conscious, health-minded people that are doing high-intensity workouts and everything, and we're watching their health deteriorate. It's one thing if you live in a high-rise and, you shop at 7-Eleven and you eat everything is ultra-processed out of a wrapper, but then it's a completely other thing if you are health-conscious and you're mobile and you're active and you're well-versed in even dietetics, and it's something that interests you. And while you're going through this whole process, your health gets worse and worse. My problem was, I'm like, man, I think I'm doing all this stuff right, but I'm more tired. I have more and more joint pain, and I'm becoming less and less mobile. Like, something is wrong. All the while, I'm actually paying attention to what I eat. I read the label. I'm buying it from the health food store. I'm trying to eat organic, but yet my health continues to diminish. That's why I think your story is so powerful, because here you are, very fit, very athletic, very aware and paying attention to that, but yet your health is still failing you. So when you made this switch to a more meat-based, animal-based diet, how soon was it before you started seeing improvement?
I mean, the gut started feeling better immediately. But then, I always call it the umbrella of, autoimmune conditions, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, brain fog, whatever you want to call it. I mentioned that, I remember, to my first doctor, when they started me off, I was like, it's not just my gut. It's mainly my gut, but this discomfort. But I used to wake up like 4 a.m. and do early morning workouts. It's like I'm getting really tired, and I'm not even doing anything at night. And I wake up and my joints are just everything's hurting. I'm trying to think and I can't put together a thought. And it seems like life starts and ends with the gut, was like the Hippocratic kind of saying. Yeah. And that's true, that everything starts in the gut and then it affects you otherwise. But then everything started improving afterwards. Like, I used to have really chronic leg pain when I was starting to get the gut problems, and that started relieving later on too. And then, my cognitive functions substantially improved. I think I was able, if you don't use it, you lose it. But I was able to speak about two or three different languages at once too. Cause I remember when I was going over to, I was speaking some, I don't want to say semi-fluent Spanish, but I was also speaking I was learning Italian at the same time. And it seems that, once it kind of affected the gut, it infected your whole, it was a systemic kind of affection of your own body.
So Once you made this shift in diet, how long do you think it was before you felt like maybe a full recovery, or where all of your pre, because the other challenge with when our health starts to deteriorate, right? We start to accumulate these ailments and they become kind of commonplace. So you don't really fully recognize them until they start going away.
Yeah.
How long do you think it was when you made that shift?
To be honest with you, it wasn't an overnight. To be completely better and to get the gut pain, especially the surgical site, because the surgical site's like my Achilles tendon, if you want to call it that. It's always a very sensitive part. Like, even if I'm like sitting wrong, or if I basically was doing some kind of activity and like I kind of bumped my lower abdomen, it would be so sensitive. I think, to be honest with you, I think it was like a 2-year process, because I think in 2020 was when I was feeling like actually most of my probably some of my best at certain times too, athletic as well, and able to perform and getting back to my very good fitness shape too, and my strength. My strength, it took a long time to get back, because when I was kind of like bedridden for a while, I had a lot of muscle atrophy and very weak, and I had to basically put on a lot of muscle after this.
Yeah, I had a arthritic condition in my shoulder. It kind of destroyed like 30-40% of my labrum. They went in there and cleaned it up, And that was 3 years ago. 2 years ago, I went carnivore, and I'm my health, mobility, and strength are still on the upswing. Like, I'm continuing to improve, and that's what I'm noticing, is that as you continue this type of lifestyle for the long term, you continue to heal and improve. And I'm not under no type of delusion that I could grow my labrum back, but at least I don't need a shoulder replacement right now. And, and I'm able to function at a higher level and continue to see improvement. So that's another thing that I like to encourage people is, stick with it, because the healing process, it took you a really long time to screw it up and to mess it up and to damage it. So expect it to take, twice as long. Yeah. To fix and to heal and all that stuff. And that's what I'm experiencing. Sounds like that's what you're experiencing. Was there any intrinsic benefits when you made the change? Are there any other additional,
emotionally, if you're talking about that? Yeah. Mental health really improved. I was very depressed. In fact, right after the surgeries, where I was at my lowest point, I had suicidal tendencies. I think they even called it 5150, because I told someone I didn't want to live. I think I was seeing like a nurse practitioner. I was like, I don't even think I want to live. I don't want to see my next birthday. And they all automatically called like a 5150 on me. I think when they actually, the law enforcement called me, I said, no, I didn't say anything could be imminent. I just said I was in a very depressed state. So they kind of didn't put me on the 72 hour hold. I think that was one of the biggest uplifts, is just getting your confidence and happiness again. I think that's what I'm seeing with a lot of the carnivore community, because you'll see like the videos and you'll see the before and after photos. You see them very depressed, but then they're so outspoken and just so charming at all these events. And that's why I've been attending all these meetups recently. I mean, I've been going to like the paleo convention and a couple of intermittently, but ever since this campaign, I want to get like very in tune. And I told my campaign manager, I want to focus on the health community during this entire campaign. I'm not going to be sucked up to big rich CEOs and other, politicians for money and donations, because I don't really look up to them, and not just that, they're going to try to influence my policies. I mean, beyond the health, I have a lot of other policies that I want to maintain. Like, I'm concerned about our next generation, not just to the health, to the mental health. I don't like how they're grooming our children right now. I want to go back to some true American traditional values. But my goal is, it's going to be a very long haul, but I really want to put a lot of limitations on all the pharmaceutical companies. It just seems that, and even as an attorney practicing for 14 years, I have clients coming into me and I see them have a pill case. They're like, oh yeah. They're always, very stressed out. Oh yeah, legal problems, but more stressed out than usual. And I see them pick out their pill case and they have like, and they're taking like 10 pills a day, and they don't even know what they're taking half the time. well, my doctor says I'm going to be taking this for, you know, my blood clots, but they said to take this. And if I have this kind of like, you know, problem with my heart, I have to take this. And it just seems that, you know, they're routinely on pharmaceuticals. And I think the pharmaceuticals can put a huge, like, detriment to anybody's health. Especially, I mean, I'm not allowed to speak about the vax injuries on a lot of public record, but I think that's evident. And I think it's even Ray Charles can see everybody's going to have problems from that, right?
Yeah.
So I want to focus, and not just that, I want to focus on what we're teaching our future doctors. And I had a very good conversation with Dr. Chafee in both times, you know, last year and this year's podcast, Dr. Kiltz, Dr. Baker, and Dr. Barry. I really enjoyed the recent one with Dr. Barry because he's really involved in politics. I'm not sure if you're aware, in the state of Tennessee. And, you know, he had to go through same issues when he was voicing his opinion. People try to, like, you know, threaten his license, just like they try to threaten my license when I was speaking out. Because I was known as the anti-vax lawyer probably before I became known as the carnivore lawyer. Because the carnivore lawyer was more like, even though Dr. Clemens called me the carnivore lawyer ever since I came back to the United States because I was kind of promoting her and I was also helping her with stuff in the United States with trademarks and copyrights and whatnot too. But, you know, when you try to speak out, especially if you have some kind of profession, you know, you have a lot of people coming after you. Everybody tried to come after me here. Well, let's just say in California, they try to report me to the state bar. But all you're doing is, like, you're trying to improve people's health. You're trying to get them off pharmaceuticals. You know, you can – what is it? You know, heal yourself by food and make your food your medicine, not your – all these pharmaceuticals. You shouldn't be taking that. And the pharmaceutical companies have these, I want to say, kind of like a sinister act where they know they're going to be profiting when people get sicker because they'll become reliant on it. And this is something I really want to change for the entire nation.
Yeah, the problem is it's hard to monetize that. You know, if you're promoting local farmers and local ranchers and you are actually trying to restrict the influence of the pharmaceutical propaganda, you know, there's not really deep pockets there. It's very hard to monetize, but it's very beneficial for society. If we had more farmers and ranchers and we were more decentralized, there would be better food access. It would probably reduce the cost. It would also improve the profit margins for the smaller local ranchers. We're just a large family here on like 50 acres. We have a small herd and we started processing our own cows locally. We do make them available. And as a shameless plug, we do currently have a cow that's ready to go to the processor. So if you are in the Northeast Texas area, shoot us an email. And, you know, we
get
do
a
have
whole cow all chopped up,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, whole cows available. You know, and we started doing that. We got involved with the carnivore lifestyle, changing our diet, and we started feeling so much better. So we said, what if we made this available, the same exact, literally the same exact thing that we're eating, to other local people? Maybe it would be a way to help just offset our costs, you know, and also provide them with a really high quality product. They can shake our hand. They can see who we are. And we use two different small local processors, and we go through all the proper channels to, you know, so that it can be packaged properly and all that kind of good stuff. And it's very satisfying to just meet people that you never met before and offer them a really high quality product. And the beauty of it, it's like it's beef, man. Like we didn't do anything to it. We didn't manipulate it. We didn't print it on a 3D printer, you know, out of, you know, something that
grow it from the lab, right?
yeah. And nothing's lab grown. And it's really neat. And what that does is that creates community. You know, now we met this person. They met us. They know who we are. And we're creating relationships. You know, it's like, you know, not just flipping that food pyramid on its head, but flipping food access on its head. It's like, you know, a lot of people, you know, they go to Walmart and they pick up the ground beef that's in the cellophane. And it's like, well, where does your food come from? Oh, it comes from the shelf at Walmart. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like the problem
it's got,
is
it's got natural. I noticed one thing when I think when I was traveling, I just went to a local Walmart to get like a steak. You know, you do the like air fryer in the hotel room kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I remember like, you know, all these things, they have like natural flavors added as an ingredient. I'm like, what the hell? You know, that can mean I guess there's like 3,000 things that can like satisfy yeah. like a natural flavor. So you have no idea what's in it. I was like, you know, meat should have one ingredient. It's so simple. And I'm glad you're actually bringing up the farmers, because that's part of my campaign is to support your local farmers. And one good thing that Dr. Clemens did before I came back to the United States from Hungary, I asked her, I was like, you know what? I'm not sure if you ever had pork like in Europe, but pork, I think pork is the best in what I've been told, Spain and Hungary. And it's basically because what they feed the pork, you know? They don't feed it any corn or soy. Yeah, that's one problem with chickens and pigs is that you feed them in corn and soy. I think they have a single stomach system where they can't really break it down, and that's why they have a really inflammatory kind of omega-3-6 ratio compared to beef. Because beef, correct me if I'm wrong, but cows have like a multiple stomach system, like a seven stomach system, right? So I told her, I was like, I want to eat some quality meat when I get back to the United States because you guys have some of the best pork I've ever eaten in the world. And she's like, no, and she kind of gave me a list of farmers to purchase from online. And one of them was U.S. Wellness Meats. I think they're based out of Missouri, right? And that was one of the first farms. And I just started buying from different farms. And I always kind of like on LinkedIn, even though I'm suspended right now. that's going to happen. You talk against vaccines and you talk about promoting meat, you get suspended on LinkedIn. Anyways, I always like to do a shout out for different farms in different states. And I think I purchased from probably like 30 or 40 different farms over the years, and I usually routine purchase like, you know, from 10 to 15 farms, like, you know, like every other month. But yeah, I think that's the best thing, is getting farm to table is the best access. And then when I spoke with some of the farmers, they, you know, when the meat prices started going, you know, up since 2020, like, I want to say ever since Biden got in office, but I asked him about, I was like, so what's the, like, you know, what's the cost of the meat going up? I know it's nationwide, is it all because of inflation? But I said, no, we're restricted on, you know, how much we can kind of produce, basically, too. We're restricted on how much, you know, land we can acquire, too. And we need to have, you know, more land. And right now, it seems like there's like an agricultural monopoly, like where all the farmland's getting bought out by these big corporations like BlackRock and Bill Gates for his little lab-grown meat factories, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the monolithic mega corporations, they're buying up the food processing. I believe that China owns 80% of the pork processing in America. And that's unreal. And then, Gates is buying up farmland and then trying to feed us crickets and these different things. And it's just like it's like a really bad comic book. It's like we're living in a really bad comic book. And
he's trying to block out the sun, too. What America's turning into. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to imagine. And unfortunately, it is very real. And it's great for people that are passionate enough that really want to get involved and kind of put their money where their mouth is and invest their time and do like such a what seems to the average person like myself just seems like such a monumental task. It's really neat. And, you know, obviously I want to support people like you that are going to attempt to make this change. And the beauty of carnivore to me, as much as I believe governmentally how we fix things, I believe you shrink to the government to the point to where you're like, is there a government? Like, do we still have government? And that's when government is just the right size, right? When
one of the other thoughts, and my manager actually brought this up because she came from Team Kennedy, and that's why we got connected last year, because she loved it, the fact that she's like, you're like that anti-vax lawyer talking all this crap, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah. She's like, and you're the carnivore lawyer? I was like, so that's why she agreed to work with me. But, you know, one thing we talked about was decentralizing health. I mean, if it's going to be impossible to change the medical curriculums and change like the food pyramid, decentralize it. Stop having federal government kind of intervene with all the, you know, how you're going to be, you know, running farms or, you know, giving natural health to individuals. let the states. And if you're going to have some very bad blue states, you know, going to be running rogue, then move to a better state, maybe like Texas. And that's why I told you I got licensed over there. That's one of my favorite backup options.
Yeah, we work directly with Crowd Health, and I've had Andy Shovner on, and Crowd Health is a crowd sharing healthcare app. And currently my son and his wife are on it. We're in the process of shifting over to Crowd Health. We're with Samaritan Ministries, which is another medical sharing program. But I mean, these decentralized healthcare programs, these sharing programs have been in existence. These are proven models that work, and it's the average of large numbers and people like working together to bear each other's burdens, you know, and loving your neighbor. And it's all of these, it's like the golden rule applied to healthcare, and you can all work together. And the beauty of Crowd Health is they have different groups with metrics. Like they have a carnivore club, they have a carnivore group, they have a keto group, right? Where people that are health conscious and do want to qualify for certain health metrics are in a separate group where their costs are even lower, right? And so rather than having to have the burden of this Obamacare mentality where we just have to cover everybody and help everybody, which is obviously going to add to the morbidity and the comorbidities, and it's going to obviously increase the cost, which is why these healthcare, like United Healthcare and Sentient and these other large healthcare providers are crumbling and their stock prices are crashing, because since 2020, for some reason, the morbidity percentage has went up substantially, you know, and so it's putting all this undue pressure on all these healthcare providers. And it's the straw that broke the Obamacare's back, because that already put all this extra. Well, no, you have to cover all these people, right? So it forces all these people into this collectivist system. And there are decentralized solutions like Crowd Health, like Samaritan Ministries, where we can decentralize. And politically, how we help support that is to eliminate these barriers of entry and the bureaucracy that prevents them from functioning, right? So that this will help reduce their costs and allow them to continue to function and to continue to fine-tune and tweak. And I mean, Crowd Health, man, it's an app on your phone. It's so fast. It's so quick. It's so easy. It's so cost-effective. It's like $87 per person per month, and it's a beautiful, seamless program. Andy Shovner is a genius. I had him on the podcast. And they're making it happen every month, man. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, so that's definitely some good options. I'm also still interested in your whole cuts of steak or whole cuts of cow.
Oh yeah, yeah, awesome, man. So when you switched to carnivore, like what did your maybe give me a quick rundown on what your diet looked like, and like has it evolved or changed since you started?
One thing I'll realize is that I don't like eating overcooked steaks when people cook at high temperatures. I actually realize that I do very well with, actually, to be honest with you, I grind up some of my own meats myself and eat it raw. Everybody's like, thinking like, you're going to get food poisoning. I'm like, no, you have stomach acid for a reason. And it's there, you know, as long as you're not taking any proton pump inhibitors or antacids, you're keeping your stomach acid naturally strong. It's a natural disinfectant and a barrier. So I realized I was actually absorbing better that. I am a lion diet carnivore, where I don't do any dairy or eggs, and I don't do too much on organs. The liver, you know, I'm not really worried about that vitamin A toxicity, but it just makes me feel kind of just a little groggy. And actually, one organ I do like is brains. It's like, I'm not sure why. I think it's just because it's very soothing. Raw bone marrow, I guess that's classified as an organ on some kind of farmers' websites too, but raw bone marrow, I think, is one of the most healing things for your gut. So, and then raw suet too, if you can get some small tubes of suet. That's where I learned that, you know, when you try to increase your fat intake, if you eat a bunch of rendered fat, It can go right through you. Even though it's not going to be as inflammatory as like taking a bunch of laxatives, it's just kind of fat going through you. It's kind of uncomfortable, and I want to be able to absorb a little bit more of the fat, so I started incorporating a lot more fat. I still do it. I do intermittent fasting. I still do 1 or 2 day fasting sometimes, even dry fast. But I've realized that I got to stick to, especially since I'm sensitive. There is one other kryptonite to me is that's mold. So. I mean, I think even Michaela Peterson and a few other carnivores kind of like went on a hiatus when they got really sick from mold. Even if you're eating a zero carb, animal based ketogenic diet, you can still get sick from mold. I don't feel bad when I go to Las Vegas because it's hot and dry, but when I'm in LA, when Los Angeles, it's very humid. So if I'm in a building, it gets very moist and there's mold, I get really sick. So I'm not sure if you realize when people get mold illness, they get sensitive to certain types of meats. It's usually aged meats, and cured meats. So you have to eat fresh meats. And so,
histamine, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so another farm is North Star Bison. And what they do is they have a low histamine section where they don't age any of their meats. It's the freshest as possible. Little pricier, but it's kind of well worth it if you're having those symptoms and you need to eat really fresh steaks. So I usually try to prefer the fresh steaks. For some reason, I have a slight sensitivity to lamb. I don't know why. It's not like a bad allergy like dairy or eggs, but just a slight. But I actually started doing like all these exotic meats. Like, I started doing alligator and rabbits, I guess, is classified as exotic. And then when I got sick from mold, I needed to increase my iron intake, and I didn't want to take a bunch of iron pills or iron infusions. So what I did is I ate a bunch of game meats, such as bison, elk, and venison. That's something I try to incorporate a little bit more, but yeah. And whenever I go out on a restaurant, since I'm not like you, I'm not happily married with kids. I don't have any kids that I know about, but, I'm occasionally, and I didn't get married just because I did family law. It really kind of emotionally scarred me seeing my friends going through these divorces. But, when I'm occasionally on a date, like I'll prefer the best thing they have is a filet mignon, but you get it cause it's so tender that you don't need to have it cooked that much. Because it's not going to be gristly. And what I do is I try to have them cook it as least as possible. I said, I want you to cook it. If you could serve it rare or just raw, I'd prefer that. But how about just black and blue? I think it's called Pittsburgh style. Just a black and blue sear on each side so it's nice and rare. That's actually probably my favorite cut. But filet mignons are pricier. That's the only thing, though.
Yeah, I've noticed the exact same thing. I'm 2 years in, and when we get our hamburg processed, it's very high in fat. It's probably like a 70-30 or maybe even nice. Like a 60-40. But when I make my hamburgers, I make them in the air fryer at 4 minutes aside. So they are completely raw in the middle.
Yeah, because and especially with that much fat, if it gets too rendered, it's gonna go right through you. So I realize that. I realize it with fatty steaks too. Is that like just a quick sear on each side, or the air fryer is the best option? Like high just for a couple minutes, or something like that, each side, rather than just frying the whole thing where it's nice and crispy, because that's the worst. Yeah, actually, that's what I kind of promote. Everyone's like. Even my manager's like, I like that you're eating all meat and, people are going to like you for that. But, there's a lot of people in the rest of society that you need to get the swing votes. They're already going to think you're a little weird because you're eating just meat. But if you start eating like just raw organ meats in front of them, you're probably going to gross a little people out. So don't do that too much in public. Probably do that in private. But yeah, I'll admit that I do that in private. A lot of raw. Yeah, I think raw meat is really, really healing. That's why I actually tell a lot of people when they're having digestive problems, not digestive problems, just they're having too much go right through them on the carnivore. They got to get fat adapted. But I tell them, just eat a little bit of raw. It's going to help you out. So I'm glad you would do that as well.
So maybe explain, what's next for you. I know you're making this political run. So, maybe line that out, what that looks like, when – that's going to kind of go down.
It's the midterm elections, 2026, in the state of Nevada. I still have to win the primary, though. I think I'm still the best candidate for the primary, but there's some couple folks that They came from some major corporations, some video gamers. That's all they did is do video games all their life, and they got the most money. But I'm like, I'm not sure how that's going to give you a background on how to run a government or kind of set the people for public policies when I have law, dietetics, and I have fitness, and I have a PhD in public policy. I think I'm going to give you a little bit of an edge. But, yeah, I have to win the primary. But so up until now, until you know, right before the primary, it's going to be very intense. But right now, I'm just like as I met you back in what, March or so at the Austin meetup. I'm actually traveling a lot with the Healing Humanity event, and I'm actually doing my own meetup. I think you may have saw that too, the Las Vegas meetup. And Dr. Kiltz is going to co-host it with me, and I'm going to have Adam Lacey with the Healing Humanity show, right. The Healing Humanity documentary. So I'm actually hosting the Las Vegas meetup. That's next Saturday in Las Vegas. So we weren't promoting as much because I had to promote we were promoting the Boston meetup. I was a speaker there. And so that was actually a good chance to meet Dr. Seyfried and do his kind of lecture on, you know, eating a ketogenic diet to reverse cancer. I think that was awesome. But yeah, those. And I also have, just to be a more interesting candidate, I am doing some stunts and some promotions. So that's why I did skydiving a couple times, bungee jumping, but I'm also wrestling an NCAA. I used to be a pretty good wrestler, but I'm wrestling an NCAA wrestler YouTuber on the beach. You may know him. His name is Giorgio Pulis. But we made a deal. I told him you're NCAA like all American. You're gonna kick my ass. I know that, but I want to give you a good run for your money. And don't go soft on me. If you want to slam me, if you want to break a leg, go ahead. We're gonna do it right on the beach. It's gonna be on camera. That's next month. And then, as I told you right before we started, I'm doing my first actual professional bull riding show in Fort Worth, Texas. That'll be on ESPN and PBR, right? And since I'm still in actually relatively good shape, I'm not probably as good as I was in Mr. Los Angeles 2010. Now that I just turned 40, I may actually compete in an IMBA contest, all-natural bodybuilding contest, later this year. But I'll be at Hack Your Health too. I'm going to be at the Unicity event. So I'm kind of combining most of the ketogenic and the carnivore communities together. And then I'm also a big proponent for a lot of my friends went into law enforcement and to military. So I'm becoming an honorary squadron commander for the Nellis Air Force Base out of Las Vegas. I've been connecting with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. And I've also been training with the UFC team in Las Vegas. They've been really kicking my ass. I had to like really ice up and get these a black eye out. But anyways, I'm doing that on Saturdays too to toughen me up, just in case I have any hecklers during a campaign.
Well, what do you do in your spare time now?
that's the one benefit. Even though I'm not as happy as you, having been a happily married man with children, I was dating someone previously. Be honest, a doctor too. But anyways, I kind of told her, I was like, look, I'm going to be focused on the campaign and my focus. And she didn't like that. I was like, you know, I want to actually be hanging out with the carnivore community at all these events. Like my 40th birthday that weekend, I spent with the Healing Humanity in Boston. I wanted to meet Dr. Seyfried. I'm like, I'm going to rather do that than spend time with you. And just that's my focus. And I think I don't want that to become a distraction. And yeah, I probably need a little bit more sleep, though. I do about 4 to 5 hours. I need to push that. And you know, driving back and forth. But yeah, there's 168 hours in a week. When you actually extract all the BS time people waste, like, you know, video games and whatnot, or watching like, you know, some soap operas or something like that, there is a lot of time where you can use to take care of yourself.
It's very true. That's very true. Christopher, man, this has been just such a great conversation. And so where can, if people want more information on you, what you're doing and following you, or maybe hearing more about some of these events, where's the best places for them to follow you at, Christopher?
Right now, my campaign website was set up a couple months ago after my announcement. It's chrisbranlin.com. I'll email you the details. And then even though I was on LinkedIn mainly for the last 14 years, my campaign manager forced me to get on all the other social media platforms like Facebook. I've already been connected on Facebook a little bit, but I wasn't even using my like a full last name, though. It's kind of like a lot of people do on Facebook, but I use my full last name. Instagram, X, as we kind of recently exchanged to. I'm currently suspended from LinkedIn. I'm not sure if that's going to be permanent. And I just started a YouTube channel where I put a bunch of stunts, and I always do some tutorials. Not only do I give people free legal advice too for the carnivore community, and I always offer pro bono services for carnivore. I'm trademarking like probably five different individuals with different. They have their own carnivore companies. So I do their trademark, all the work, legwork, no charge.
Very cool.
Yeah, so YouTube's I'm going to be doing tutorials, and I also do like, you know, if you're having some problems, you know, cooking devices, all that, you know, some things that are useful in the carnivore community. But the website, the campaign website, is probably the main one. And if people have a serious legal issue, if they need to contact me, you can go to my law firm's website, is brandlinlaw.com. But the campaign website's the most, probably the most focused on for the next 16 months.
Right. Yeah, I will post. I'll make sure I keep all the links, post them down below. This has been an awesome conversation. And this is, y'all, a value for value proposition. So if you do love the information that we put out, please go on over to thetexasboys.com. If you're local and looking for some beef, hit us up, send us an email, because in about 30 days, we can have that cow processed for you. And we love and appreciate y'all. And thanks so much for watching. And thank you, Christopher. And we'll see you on the next show.
It was an honor. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.